For a very long time in American politics, there was a truism about running for president of the United States. That truism suggested you were supposed to run to the extremes during the primaries, and then you were supposed to run toward the center in the general, which made perfect sense. You wanted to consolidate a base in the primaries so as to overcome your primary rivals. And then once you had done that, you were supposed to run toward the center because that's where the independents were. And the truth is that in every American election, the winner of that election has been the person who won independence, with the sole exception of 2012, when Mitt Romney beat Barack Obama with independence. But it didn't matter because Barack Obama had enough of his base show up that he was able to win a victory. In every other election, independents have decided the election. Joe Biden is deciding that it is time for him to buck conventional wisdom. He is not running to the center. Instead, he's believing all of the political idiots around him that he has to run to the far left. He's believing the Bernie Sanders crowd. He's believing the Pod Save America crowd. He's believing the most extreme members of his own base. And there is very little data to support the notion that he is going to win if he runs to the extreme parts of his base. This is why he is losing right now. In fact, according to the latest NPR Marist poll that actually has Joe Biden up 2 nationally, that same poll shows that in October of 2020, Joe Biden was winning among independent voters by 21 points, 57 to 36. In March of 2024, Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden with independent voters by 7 points, 52 to 45. That is a net 28-point swing toward Donald Trump among independent voters. And there is a reason for that. It is because Joe Biden has decided that he is not going to instead swivel to the center. He is going to run directly to his left. And he has cheerleaders on his left who are promoting this narrative, even though the narrative isn't particularly true. The real reason that Joe Biden is losing right now has nothing to do with his positions that are somewhat Democratic center left on, for example, Israel Gaza. The reason that he is losing right now is because most Americans perceive the economy to be poor. Most Americans perceive the president to be too old. They perceive Joe Biden to be disconnected. They believe that Joe Biden doesn't have their concerns at heart. For example, MSNBC yesterday reporting that 63% of swing state voters say the United States economy is not so good or poor. Only 36% say that it is excellent or good. Here's MSNBC discussing.
The poll also finds negative perceptions about the economy do remain a problem for the incumbent. 63% of swing state voters say the U.S. economy is in not so good or poor condition, while just 36% say it's in excellent or good condition.
Okay, well, that would be the reason that you're losing. I mean, if you are the incumbent president, and 63% of swing state voters say that the economy is not so good or poor, that's the reason why you're underperforming in the polls. But again, if you are Joe Biden and you have a closed loop echo chamber of people surrounding you, former Obama staffers, for example, who are very much to the left and who believe in the magic, mythic notion that Barack Obama's 2012 campaign can be replicated, that you can get out enough members of the base to overcome deficits with independents, which historically has not been true. Barack Obama is the only outlier, and that was a real outlier election. If you listen to all those people, you're going to swivel to your left, and you're going to skew the data to do it. So, for example, yesterday, CNN's data guru, Harry Enten, he suggested that the Israel-Hamas war is costing Joe Biden votes. The way that he does this is sort of fascinating. So he looks at Democrats who approve of Joe Biden's handling of various issues, including the economy, Russia-Ukraine, foreign policy, gun violence, the U.S.-Mexico border, and the Israel-Hamas war. This is a Quinnipiac University poll. Here is Harry Enten trying to explain.
Look here, the Israel-Hamas war. Look at that approval rating. Less than 50% of Democrats are approving on Joe Biden, on the Israel-Hamas war. And more than that, John, these numbers have gotten significantly worse. So this is Democrats' views of Biden on the Israel-Hamas war. Look back in October of 2023. It was 67%. Look where we are today, 48%. That disapproved number, look at that, jumped up from 28% in October of 2023 to 46% now. This is within the margin of error. Democrats are split on Joe Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war. John, you know I look at poll numbers a lot. For a president to be doing this poorly amongst his own party on any issue is quite something to see.
Okay, but there's one problem with this narrative. It's the top of that poll. Only 81% of Democrats approve of Joe Biden on the economy. His best issues are 80% issues among Democrats. That's the reason he is losing. It is not because of the third tier issue that is Israel-Hamas. That is not the issue for Joe Biden. Harry Enten went on to explain. He said, This is Democrats who are extremely motivated to turn out and vote in November if they like Biden on the Israel-Hamas war. 63% of those Democrats say they're extremely motivated to turn out and vote in November. That's equal to the percentage of Republicans overall who say they're extremely motivated to turn out in November. But if they dislike Joe Biden on the Israel-Hamas war, only 53% of Democrats are extremely motivated to vote in 2024. In other words, if you like Joe Biden's performance on Israel-Hamas, you are more likely to vote for him if you're a Democrat, like go out and vote for him. If you don't like it, you're less likely to go out and vote. Harry Enten then suggests that Joe Biden, if he switched his Israel-Hamas policy, would win those 53% of voters back up to 63 or 73%. There's one problem with this logic. It is backwards. The reason that 53% of voters who don't like Joe Biden's policy on Israel-Hamas, only 53% of those voters who are Democrats are voting, the reason is because wild left progressives are lower propensity voters than moderate left Democrats. You're talking about a young base of largely people of color who have lower voter turnout records. So he's looking at it backwards. What he should be looking at it is low propensity voters think that Joe Biden is too far to the right on Israel. High propensity Democratic voters think that Joe Biden is kind of right on Israel Hamas. But again, the narrative must be pushed forward. And so you have all of Obama's old buddies out there doing this. Jon Favreau on Pod Save America is suggesting that Joe Biden should cut off aid to Israel. And this is, of course, increasingly the call. He tweeted out, the president doesn't get credit for being privately enraged when he still refuses to use leverage to stop the IDF from killing and starving innocent people. These stories only make him look weak. That was in response to a story saying angry Biden not changing Israel policy after deadly strike on aid workers. So again, the idea that the IDF is purposefully killing and starving innocent people is a lie. But it is a lie that is being promoted by the far left. And Joe Biden, because he is afraid, is listening to all of this. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it was like having a first aid kit, but not actually keeping it stocked. Most of the time, probably fine. What if you suddenly get into a horrible accident and there is nothing in the first aid kit? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, or airports, you're essentially leaving your personal data wide open for any hacker on the same network to access. Don't wait for a security breach to happen. Protect yourself with ExpressVPN. Your data isn't just data. It's valuable information. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling on the dark web. That's why you need to protect it with ExpressVPN. I love that ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between my device and the internet, so hackers can't steal my sensitive data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. ExpressVPN, it's incredibly easy to use. Just fire up that app, click one button, get protected. Plus, it works on all devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Once more, expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get some more on this in just a moment. First, the cost of living has already increased 17% this year, and it continues to rise despite interest rate controls. As our national debt continues to skyrocket, you need to be confident in the financial services companies you work with, especially regarding your money and future. Birch Gold is a proven industry leader you want on your side. They demonstrate how precious metal investment can fortify your lifestyle and retirement, even in turbulent economic times. Actually, especially in turbulent economic times. Birch Gold understands navigating financial decisions can be daunting. That's why their expertise, coupled with their customer care process, ensures your purchase or IRA setup is a breeze. If you're considering converting an existing retirement account into a precious metals IRA, their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you every step of the way, making the process feel as simple as a walk in the park. Birch Gold values your questions and concerns. Their team is always available to provide answers and clarity, whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process. They are here to ensure you feel heard and informed. Text Ben to 989898 to talk to one of Birch Gold's experts and claim your free info kit on gold. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. The best part is, it doesn't cost a penny out of pocket. Just text Ben to 989898. That's Ben to 989898. This is why you have Karine Jean-Pierre out there on the White House podium, least talented press secretary of my lifetime, suggesting that Israel should not go into Rafah, which is, of course, the last southern city in Gaza, repository of at least four Hamas battalions. Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, is probably hiding underground there. One of the reasons, by the way, that Egypt does not want Israel going into Rafah is because there are apparently tunnels from Egypt into Rafah that have been used as gun smuggling routes by terrorists in Egypt. And they are afraid that if Israel goes in there and finds those tunnels, that will implicate Israel-Egypt relations. In any case, here's Karine Jean-Pierre giving military advice to the Israelis out of her vast experience in war.
We believe there has to be alternative ways to deal with Hamas in Gaza, as we're specifically in Rafah. A military operation that we believe is not the way to move forward. There is a active conversations happening with the Israeli government and obviously our government, and I think that's important.
Well, it's very important, except that they have no actual plan, of course. One of the other people inside the administration is pushing very hard is the actual president of the United States, Jill Biden, the Edith Wilson of our age. You have a senile old president who's barely hanging on by his fingernails. Jill Biden is out there suggesting that actually Joe Biden is winning the election, but she doesn't actually believe that, as we'll talk about in a moment.
How is the campaign going before?
Oh, my gosh, it's going great. I have been traveling every day that I'm not in the classroom. People are excited. And I really feel like, you know, people know the choice this election. They can choose chaos or they can choose, you know, steady wisdom experience. So
it's not a part of you that's a little worried because
no,
you seem to be
no,
off kilter a little
no,
bit.
No, okay. I feel that Joe will be reelected.
Oh, she's not worried at all. Well, apparently she's worried enough by the left flank that she has been telling Joe Biden, according to the New York Times, that he should literally tell Israel to cease fire now, immediately, with hostages still being held by Hamas. According to the New York Times, one of the strongest voices inside the White House urging an end to civilian casualties in Gaza is the person closest to the president, Joe Biden. She's not urging an end to civilian casualties in Gaza. She's urging an end to the war in Gaza, which would leave Hamas in place with at least 50 live hostages still in the possession of Hamas. The unaccounted for hostages still number well over 100. At a meeting with Muslim community members at the White House on Tuesday evening, one guest told President Biden his wife had disapproved of him coming to the meeting because of Biden's support for Israel and its war against Hamas. Biden said he understood. The first lady, he said, had been urging him to stop it now, according to an attendee who heard his remarks. Asked about the president's remarks, White House officials on Wednesday said there was no daylight between Mr. Biden and the first lady on the conflict, and the president was just as outraged by the civilian casualties as his wife has been. They also said she was not calling for Israel to end its efforts against Hamas. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Again, the left of the Biden administration believes that the reason that he is losing is because he is not far enough to the left. Now, they've decided to use as a sort of hook to hang their leftist hat on this horrifying and tragic incident in which seven aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, which is run by Chef Jose Andres, were killed in what is best described as a friendly fire incident. It was an incident in which apparently the Israeli Air Force thought that there was a terrorist riding on top of the convoy. They saw an armed man, apparently, according to Haaretz, riding on top of the convoy. That person got off at a particular point. The Israelis thought that the convoy had been taken over by terrorists, and so they struck the convoy, and they were wrong. And they've already apologized and they've already acknowledged that they were wrong. Now, let me just put this in a little bit of context. Friendly fire incidents in war are extremely common. This is something that Americans really don't have a lot of experience with, because if you don't watch war closely and if you don't have members of the military in your family, it's almost impossible to think about the horror of being killed by your own side. But the reality is that this sort of stuff happens really a lot. It's always tragic, it's always terrible, and it happens a lot, particularly in situations that are highly populous and in which it is very difficult to tell one side from another. If you look at just the history of friendly fire, during World War II, to take a long ago example, perhaps as many as 56,000 American troops were killed by friendly fire during World War II. That's according to the Rand Institute. During the Iraq War, somewhere between 1 to 2% of American troops killed in Iraq were killed by friendly fire. Right now, because of the very close quarter combat situations in Gaza, at least 30% of all Israelis who are being killed in the Gaza Strip have been killed by friendly fire. And again, this is not rare in the annals of American war. If you go back to 2003, according to PBS, a BBC reporter traveling in a convoy of 8 to 10 cars said it came under attack as it approached an area that was recently captured from Iraqi forces. This BBC reporter said, "I counted 10 or 12 dead bodies around us. There are Americans dead. It was an American plane. It dropped a bomb right beside us. I saw it land about 10 to 12 feet away. Apparently, the attack killed at least 18 Kurdish fighters and injured another 45. That was 2003. Famously, Pat Tillman, who left the NFL to join the army after 2001, after September 11th, he was killed in a friendly fire incident in Afghanistan. In 2015, for example, the U.S. military mistakenly attacked an actual medical hospital, killing 22 people in Afghanistan. And the United States did an investigation late and then said some words about it, and that was kind of it. During the attempt to go after ISIS in Syria, the United States bombed hospitals in Raqqa. That's according to the Physicians for Human Rights. They pointed out that since the beginning of the conflict, they had documented at least three attacks against Raqqa's national hospital. It was the only healthcare facility operating to serve tens of thousands of people remaining in the city, according to PHR. In 2018, there was a friendly fire incident that killed at least 11 people. That was in an attempt to kill members of ISIS. According to Reuters, friendly fire from a U.S.-led coalition fighting Daesh, that's ISIS, killed 10 members of an Iraqi security force and local official in an airstrike west of Baghdad. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't fill your gas tank. Barely get a meal for $20. Do you know what $20 will get you? From the cell phone company I use, PureTalk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. PureTalk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to PureTalk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join PureTalk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on, you know, fake news networks. Stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Right now, my listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, puretalk.com/Shapiro. I've been using them for years. Their coverage is excellent. And right now, my listeners get an additional 50% off their first month. puretalk.com/Shapiro. Get to more on this momentarily. First, Grand Canyon University. It's a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. I've been to the campus. It's gorgeous. GCU believes our creator has endowed us with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote your flourishing, creating a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Whether you're pursuing a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your degree. Find your purpose today at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu. That's gcu.edu. Now, again, friendly fire incidents are extremely common. Treating friendly fire incidents as anything but a horrifying tragedy is a lie. And the worst lie that you can tell about allied forces in Iraq or allied forces in Afghanistan or Israeli forces in Gaza is the lie that they are actively attempting to target people who they are working with. The World Central Kitchen has been working with the Israeli government to get aid into the Gaza Strip. That is why they are there. They've been doing it for 6 months on end. That doesn't mean that the situation is any less horrifying. It's totally horrifying. But it does mean that there is literally zero evidence or logic to support the idea that Israel would purposefully strike a convoy of aid vehicles for literally no reason. To accomplish what exactly? More world condemnation? More moral equivalence between the IDF and Hamas, which literally does attempt to kill aid workers who are not giving them the aid? But that's exactly what Chef Jose Andres did. So he's a big celebrity. So it makes a difference when he says things that are untrue. So here he was yesterday, literally accusing Israel of targeting workers deliberately. Now, again, there's a difference between they saw a truck with the World Central Kitchen logo on the top that they thought was being driven by terrorists or that had been taken by terrorists, and they knew it was World Central Kitchen workers who were not terrorists and decided to kill them willy-nilly for no reason at all. There is no logic behind it. There would be no rationale behind that at all. It would make literally no sense. As you can see from the world condemnation and from the world's bizarre attempts to turn what is obviously a friendly fire incident into deliberate Israeli killing of aid workers who they had greenlit themselves. But here's Chef Jose Andres saying some things here.
What I know is that we were targeted deliberately, nonstop, until everybody was dead in this convoy. That cannot be the role of an army. That cannot be the role of an army that has hundreds of drones above Gaza in any single moment. Humanitarians and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war. This is a basic principle of humanity. At the time, this looks like it's not a war against terrorism anymore. Seems this is a war against humanity itself.
That's disgusting. I'm sorry, it's a disgusting statement. It truly is gross. It's morally gross to suggest that a friendly fire incident is a war against humanity itself. It's an accident and a friendly fire incident. And the attempt to make a moral equivalence between Israel hitting an aid convoy in a case of mistaken identity and Hamas literally holding hostages right this moment on purpose, killing civilians on purpose. You want the humanitarian crisis in Gaza to end? Hamas could surrender right now. Not only is Hamas not surrendering, they're not even negotiating anymore because they believe that they have the world on their side because the world is so eager to declare a moral equivalence between an actual terrorist group and an actual army. But again, I don't think we should be particularly surprised by Chef Andres here. He's a very passionate person. He says things that are uncalibrated about foreign policy literally all the time. Back in 2018, for example, he actually accused the United States of what he called a passive genocide with regard to Hurricane Maria. He said, he was tweeting at somebody who he didn't like, "Don't insult me, son of a smelly, rotten sunchoke. President said only 16 deaths at the time, minimizing the hundreds of American deaths early on, probably thousands by now. Katrina response was slow, but eventually Bush activated a response. Maria is passive genocide of Americans." So he's literally calling the American response to Hurricane Maria back in 2018 a genocide. If you fast forward to 2022, he was accusing Israel of killing children, women, and civilians. He said, "Israel will never be safe for killing children, women, and civilians. Big powers should always show restraint. Bombing cities is no the way. Killing people is never the way. Longer tables and peace is the only way." Right, so that was in 2022, long before this current conflict, suggesting that Israel was targeting children, women, civilians. And then from very early on in the conflict, he was doing much the same thing. He literally called for a ceasefire October 20th. That was like 1 week after Israel started airstrikes in the Gaza Strip. October 7th and October 20th were separated by less than 2 weeks, and he was calling for a ceasefire. Quote, "Thanks, Secretary Blinken, but we need a ceasefire now in order for humanitarian aid to reach all the Palestinians in need." That was October 20th he was calling for a ceasefire. January 6th, he literally denied that Hamas was hijacking aid, which we know is false. We know that Hamas was hijacking aid. He said, "Is not true. They are security guards or Palestinian police providing safety and control of the masses that are starving. If they are Hamas, they will last a second riding in the open top on trucks for hours." So again, notice the contrast in what he's saying. He is saying here that if they were Hamas, Israel would drone them. And then he's also saying that if Israel accidentally drones a truck, it's because they are on purpose droning the truck. So apparently Israel is absolutely perfect at this, according to Chef Jose Andres. He says, "It's like 12 or more drones looking at them. They will be hit by the IDF. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, that heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. This can sometimes be the only defense in the womb. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn rescues 200 babies every single day from abortion simply by giving moms an ultrasound. After hearing her child's heartbeat and seeing its perfectly formed body in the womb, she's twice as likely to choose life. By 6 weeks, the baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save precious lives. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a child. And if you become a monthly sponsor, you'll receive stories and ultrasound pictures of the lives you help to save. All gifts are tax deductible. 100% of your donation goes toward saving babies today. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Dial #250, say keyword baby to get started. preborn.com/Ben. That is preborn.com/Ben to get started saving babies today. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, let's be real. There are people who say cauliflower crust pizza is better than normal pizza. Those people are liars. I'm not going to get my vegetables that way. So I make up my vegetable deficiencies by taking Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature fruits and veggies is the most convenient way to ensure you get your daily intake of fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and veggies into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules, fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best every single day. Balance of Nature helps you do just that. I've been traveling a lot recently. In the past, I used to get sick from doing that. Well, since I've started taking Balance of Nature, I feel healthier. I'm ready to go. And yeah, it's kosher. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Shapiro to get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies. Get an additional $10 off every additional set you buy. That's balanceofnature.com. Promo code Shapiro. Then, of course, he thanks Mehdi Hassan, who's been a Hamas propagandist during this situation. When Mehdi Hassan was booted from MSNBC for low ratings, he lost his show there. So he put out a statement, "Thank you, Mehdi, for always giving a voice to the voiceless and speaking truth to power." And then, of course, fast forward to February. This is a month ago. And he was tweeting out, Secretary Blinken, more needs to be done to stop the deaths and suffering of Palestinian children, of hospitals being bombed. Now, again, that is a lie. Israel was not bombing hospitals indiscriminately. USA can support Israel's right to defend itself. At the same time, USA should be asking Israel to stop targeting civilians and hospitals and tent camps and better a ceasefire. And then at the very end, with the liberation of all hostages. Well, Hamas is not releasing all the hostages and you're still calling for a ceasefire today. So again, this is not to rip on Chef Jose Andres when he's in the middle of something that must be horrifying for him. I'm sure he knew all the people who were killed. It is to suggest that this is a person with a particular political bent who's been saying uncalibrated things about Israel's activities while Israel has been actively working with his organization to get aid in. Why does that matter? Because when you lie, when you say things that are untrue about a situation like this, what you are doing is you are handing Hamas a victory. The thing that Hamas wants more than anything right now is for there to be world pressure on Israel to stop before Israel can finish off Hamas and Rafah. It's the thing they want more than anything. And they believe they have it. They believe that they have world opinion on their side now, which is why they're not even, Israel has offered a 6-week ceasefire today. And Hamas walked away from the table. Why? Because they don't care how many civilians die. They want more civilians to die. They're interested in more starvation. Hamas wants more people dead. More people dead means more pressure on Israel. Hamas is in the beautiful PR position of being able to hold hostage all of Gaza by refusing to surrender. And then suggesting that if Israel doesn't allow them to survive and continue to threaten Israel, then it's Israel's fault. So, of course, that set of perverse incentives has led Hamas to effectively disengage from negotiations. According to the Times of Israel, Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh said his terror group at war with Israel is sticking to its conditions for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, including a complete Israeli military withdrawal from Gaza. Haniyeh said, quote, we are committed to our demands, a permanent ceasefire, a comprehensive and complete withdrawal of the enemy out of the Gaza Strip, the return of all displaced people to their homes, allowing all aid needed for our people in Gaza, rebuilding the strip, lifting the blockade, and achieving an honorable prisoner exchange deal. So again, they know that they've basically got Israel in a PR bind. And that PR bind is entirely the fault of a foolish media and a foolish West that have decided that after a terrorist group starts a war with a much larger and more powerful power, that it is the job of the larger and more powerful power to be absolutely anodyne in its response. That war will suddenly become not messy. That no matter how much aid Israel lets in, Israel will still be blamed for starvation, despite the fact they're allowing hundreds of trucks into an active war zone. Again, I've never even seen anything like this militarily. You're not talking about a counterinsurgency effort right now. You're talking about an ongoing war. This would be the equivalent not of the United States trying to facilitate aid into Iraq after the fall of the Iraqi army. It would be the equivalent of the United States attempting to facilitate aid into Iraq, into Baghdad, in the middle of a war with the actual Saddam Hussein Iraqi army. It would be like the United States in the middle of a battle with the Taliban in 2002, like right at the very beginning, the first 3 weeks of the conflict, and they're trying to get aid in to Kabul while the Taliban is still in control of Kabul. That's what you're talking about. Israel has tentative military control, but is facing actual firefights every single day and people are being killed every single day. But the idea is that if Israel doesn't magic MREs into the hands of people with Hamas attempting to shoot at them, or if Israel makes a mistake while that's happening, then it must be that this war has to stop and Hamas has to remain in power. And this seems to be the prevailing foreign policy idea on nearly all sides at this point, is that if war is imperfect, war must end. Well, I mean, good luck. If that is the way that Americans are going to think about war or Westerners are going to think about war, we will never win another war. It's just that simple. Because all the incentive structures are then on the side of the people who are willing to fight a dirty war. The dirtier the war, the uglier the war, the more we don't want to be involved in the war. But we're not even involved in the war as Americans. The United States is not directly involved in Israel-Gaza. The United States, on a realpolitik foreign policy level, has an interest in the extirpation of Hamas. That would be good for the United States. It is an Iranian terror proxy arm that threatens American allies in the region. That is also threatening, by the way, to topple the Jordanian regime, which is an American ally in the region. There's a reason that Egypt does not want any of the Palestinians from the Gaza Strip traveling into Egypt. They're afraid they'll destabilize the regime over there the way they destabilized the regime in Lebanon. So it's very much in the United States' realpolitik interest for Israel to be unshackled in its pursuit of Hamas. We're not talking about putting American troops on the ground. Nobody wants American troops on the ground. I don't even want America building a humanitarian aid bridge in the Mediterranean. We shouldn't have American troops anywhere near this area. It's an absurdity that Joe Biden is putting troops in that particular area while simultaneously doing the dirty work of the Iranians. He's literally funding both sides of this war. It's totally insane. You wonder why people disapprove of Joe Biden's position? Because he doesn't have one. He's all over the damn place. But the end result of that is, of course, that America's enemies grow stronger. And Joe Biden has been completely unable in every foreign policy context to explain exactly what he is doing. He's taken halfway positions on every single conflict. He has slow walked aid to the Ukrainians while claiming that the Ukrainians are going to be able to fight this war ad infinitum with no end, which again is a bizarre position for the United States to take. The actual position of the United States should be that the Ukrainians should be funded sufficient to prevent their collapse to the Russians. But because Joe Biden says we are going to do this until quote unquote victory, where victory is undefined, the American public is not on board. Meanwhile, in a war where the victory aim is very clearly defined, the extirpation of Hamas and restoration of security control in the Gaza Strip, Joe Biden's like, that can't be your goal. I don't know when the West became unaccustomed to defining the goal of victory and then actually achieving it, but we haven't won a war for a very long time in the West, like truly won a war for a super long time in the West. And the reason is twofold. One, we have no stomach for war. And two, we have no stomach for victory. So we won't even define victory. And then we won't do what's necessary in order to achieve victory, or even let our allies do what's necessary in order to achieve victory. That is the current state of play, by the way, in Ukraine. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, with the NBA playoffs starting next week, there's no better time to get in on the action than with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't come back in the second, that player projection will not count against you. The rest of your entry stays live. Producer Jake loves Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's super excited to get in on the NBA playoff action. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Ben for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code Ben on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. A lot of good stuff to do with Prize Picks right now. NBA playoffs just beginning. It's going to be an exciting year. Use code Ben at the Prize Picks app. Get a first deposit match up to $100. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, it's no secret that our healthcare system is the subject of considerable debate. If you've watched the news, you know U.S. pharmacies are not only running out of basic antibiotics, but the current wait time to see a doctor could be up to 4 weeks. Well, I can't imagine a more helpless feeling than somebody in the family getting sick and a supply chain issue or a doctor's wait list is keeping me from getting a life-saving medication. Well, thankfully, my family has a medical emergency kit from the wellness company. It's like having a 24/7 pharmacy. This kit can treat over 39 different medical issues. No other doctor is going to prescribe all of these meds at one time for prevention later, from antibiotics like Z-Pak to reduce sick time to amoxicillin for pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections. The medical emergency kit gives you peace of mind in unforeseen medical emergencies and resource shortages. Every kit includes that medical emergency guidebook as an educational resource for safe use. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company today. Visit twc.health/Ben. Enter promo code Ben for a 15% discount. The process only takes about 3 minutes online. It couldn't be simpler. Your home medical emergency kit ships directly to your door. Don't wait. Visit twc.health/Ben. Enter promo code Ben for your discount today. According to Politico, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is making dire warnings. According to Zelensky, unless the stalled multi-billion-dollar package from the United States is soon approved, his forces will have to go back, retreat step by step in small steps. He also warned some major cities could be at risk of falling. Now, obviously, he's saying that because he wants the aid. But apparently, it also happens to be true. According to high-ranking Ukrainian military officers who served under General Valery Zhelezny, the commander-in-chief of Ukraine's armed forces until he was replaced in February, the military picture is grim. Officer said there's a great risk of the front lines collapsing wherever Russian generals decide to focus their offensive. Moreover, thanks to a much greater weight in numbers and the guided aerial bombs that have been smashing Ukrainian positions for weeks now, Russia will likely be able to penetrate the front line and to crash it in some parts. According to one of the top-ranking military sources, there's nothing that can help Ukraine now because there are no serious technologies able to compensate Ukraine for the large mass of troops Russia is likely to hurl at us. We don't have those technology, and the West doesn't have them as well in sufficient numbers. This presumably is one of the reasons why Ukraine is now lowering the age of conscription to 25. So Ukraine has a very weird sort of conscription rule. So they tried to exempt people who were younger, which is sort of the reverse of most conscription efforts. Usually, if you had a draft in the United States, it would start at the age of 18 and you'd largely focus on young men. In Ukraine, It's been focusing on middle-aged people and then gradually drifting down. So it started at the age of 27, then I'm moving it down to 25. The change apparently comes as Ukraine's defensive lines come under heavy pressure from massive Russian assaults. Frontline commanders say they're short of personnel and ammunition as a supplemental aid package is stuck in Congress. Ukrainian officers say they're expecting Russia to mount a significant offensive around the start of the summer, which is aimed at expanding the nearly 20% of territory the invading forces already occupy. Zelensky says the military has requested 500,000 more soldiers. Unclear exactly whether they're going to get the 500,000 more soldiers at this point. So I have a question. What exactly is the foreign policy of the United States here? Joe Biden has called for increased aid, but he's not making these sort of concessions in the House that would be necessary in order to get that aid. So does he actually want Ukraine to be able to survive in the face of all of this? All he had to do was pass some border control provisions in the Senate, and this thing sails through the House. But it didn't. Meanwhile, the discombobulation on foreign policy is on all sides. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene speculated that the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, who you remember, was voted in to replace Kevin McCarthy because Kevin McCarthy was apparently too woke or some such nonsense. She is now suggesting that Mike Johnson is being blackmailed because he is supporting a budgetary process that includes aid to Ukraine, aid to Taiwan, aid to Israel. Now, this sort of speculative garbage really is stupid. That is not how legislation works. The reason that the Speaker of the House is going to pass a piece of legislation that Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't like is because there are still these people called Democrats and they run the Senate and they are also in the White House. And it is thanks to the unworkability of the Republican majority that that Republican majority has been shrinking radically, because it turns out that many principled conservatives in Congress don't want to work in this absolute bleep show that the Republican House has become. But here's Marjorie Taylor Greene implying that Mike Johnson is being blackmailed or bribed or something with Tucker.
But no, Mike Johnson has made a complete departure of who he is and what he stands for. And to the point where people are literally asking, is he blackmailed? What is wrong with him? Because right. He's completely disconnected with what we want.
Do you think he is being blackmailed?
I have no idea. I can't comprehend, Tucker, what radically changes a man. I mean, if we break down the second part of basically an omnibus, let's break that down. He completely changed who he was, funded the FBI, gave him a brand new building, fully funded the Department of Justice that is persecuting everyone on the right and actually targeting our presidential candidate for election this year, literally trying to put him in jail the rest of his life. We don't know who Mike Johnson is anymore, so there's no I can't comprehend it.
Okay, maybe Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House and he has to govern. This sort of conspiratorial nonsense is silly. Not only is it silly, the foreign policy prescriptions that suggest that it would be somehow in America's interest for Ukraine to fall to the Russians, or that it would be in America's interest for Taiwan to be threatened increasingly by China, or there'd be in America's interest for Hamas to be left intact in the Gaza Strip. I just want to know what's America's real policy. The people who say this sort of stuff, they act as though they're being hard-headed about America's interest. I'm wondering, what is America's interest in that? How would it be good for America for Russia to take Ukraine? And when people say, well, we can't afford it. Yes, we can't afford anything. Let's be clear about this. The United States budget is $7 trillion a year. We are currently $34 trillion in debt. Somewhere around 7% of our annual federal budget is spent just on the interest payments. When it comes to foreign aid, which is the thing that people are complaining about when it comes to Ukraine or Israel or Taiwan, that constitutes all foreign aid, all of it. That constitutes under 1% of the federal budget. Now, you can say that you don't like the aid or you think that it's not worth spending. Okay, you have to make the case then as to what the alternative would be. What are the predictable results of that aid not going out? Make the case, seriously. But if the case is we're spending too much money, I would urge you to look at the other 99% of American spending that is actually funding our massive deficit year on year. Again, logic, I think, has left the building. I think right now American politics is a series of thrashings and impulses. That is not going to be good for America midterm or long term. It's not even going to be good for America short term. Okay, in just one second, we'll get to the only possible restoration, by the way, of any logic here, amazingly, is Donald Trump being elected president, but he's in legal trouble. We'll get to that in just one second. First, the Daily Wire, we did something weird. We decided to give Matt Walsh a robe, a gavel, and an all new series. Introducing Judged by Matt Walsh on Daily Wire Plus. That is correct. It appears an individual in the Daily Wire's ranks deemed it fitting to grant the most hypercritical human being on earth the authority of a bona fide judge. I just want to remind you, I actually went to Harvard Law School and I am licensed in the state of California. but the judge is Matt Walsh. Take a look at the official trailer for the new Daily Wire Plus series, Judged by Matt Walsh, right now.
All rise for the Honorable Judge Walsh.
Please be seated. Ms. Goldstein. Mr. Bentley.
Yeah.
Mr. Outerbridge.
Ms. Spicer.
Your Honor.
Mr. Barney.
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Singh.
Yeah. At 30,000 feet, my lips exploded.
Why would I pay rent to somebody who had sex with my sister?
A dog bit my finger.
He's allergic, like the grass.
If he didn't want me to drive the car, he would have took the key. I had it with him.
Has anyone told you you're the worst negotiator that's ever lived?
I've never been more annoyed than I am in this moment.
Not even close. That does it. Please get the hell out of my courtroom.
Get ready for real live petty court, where anything you say can, and I'm sure certainly will, be held against you. Be the first to see Judged by Matt Walsh Tuesday, April 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Daily Wire Plus. If you don't have a Daily Wire Plus membership, get it right now for 35% off with code JUDGED at checkout. It's hilarious. Go to dailywire.com/subscribe. For the record, I will never call him Your Honor. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is in serious electoral trouble. Again, as we say, so much of what Joe Biden is doing right now is being driven by the fact that his left wing keeps telling him that if he drives further to the left, he's going to win, which is insane. And he should be moving toward the middle. Donald Trump is actually occupying that middle space in American politics right now. So the Democrats have a plan, which is to put him in jail. According to Axios, a Manhattan judge on Wednesday denied former President Trump's attempt to delay the start of his New York hush money trial. The presumptive GOP presidential nominee had asked to delay the trial set for April 15th until the Supreme Court rules on his presidential immunity claims. Judge Juan Merchan wrote in his Wednesday decision that Trump had myriad opportunities to raise the claim of presidential immunity well before March 7th, 2024. The defendant's motion was denied in its entirety as untimely, according to the judge. He faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. That's because every single payment that Michael Cohen made to Stormy Daniels, they're counting as a separate count. This is the weakest of the indictments against him. But hell, it's in New York, so they might convict him anyway. And then presumably the judge would throw the book at him, because whichever judge throws the book at Donald Trump gets a nice fat book deal. He has to be on the TVs, because that's the way our criminal justice system works if the opposing party is apparently in the dock. Meanwhile, the special counsel, Jack Smith, who is running two separate trials against Donald Trump. He's running the trial against Donald Trump in Florida over classified documents mishandling. He's also running the January 6th trial up in Washington, D.C. Right now, he's spending his days attacking the judge in the classified documents case. According to the Washington Post, special counsel Jack Smith warned the judge overseeing Donald Trump's classified documents case, she is pursuing a legal premise that is wrong, and said he would probably appeal to a higher court if she rules a federal records law can protect the former president from prosecution. In a late night filing on Tuesday, Smith's office pushed back hard against an unusual instruction from U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, one that veteran national security lawyers and former judges have said badly misinterprets the Presidential Records Act and laws related to classified documents. Last month, Cannon ordered defense lawyers and prosecutors in the case to submit hypothetical jury instructions based on two different and very much contested readings of the Presidential Records Act. In response, Smith said Cannon was pursuing, quote, a fundamentally flawed legal premise that the law somehow overrides Section 793 of the Espionage Act, which is the mishandling of classified documentations. He said that legal premise is wrong. A jury instruction for Section 793 that reflects that premise would distort the trial. He said the Presidential Records Act should not play any role in the trial at all. This is an unusual filing because he's seeking a direct confrontation with the judge. How Cannon responds is going to be quite interesting. So you now have Jack Smith at war with the judge in the Trump special counsel case. And again, if she's wrong, presumably she will be overruled on appeal. There's some talk about the possibility that she is removed from the case. Now, is that actually going to happen? I see very little evidence she's going to be removed from that case. Suffice it to say that Donald Trump's legal docket is going to be very much filled all the way up until the election. And in some ways, that actually helps him. Because let's face it, covering these legal trials is super boring. It's really, really boring. Everyone already has an opinion on whether Donald Trump should go to jail or not. Very little of that is based on the legal issues at play in these cases. People who hate Trump want him in jail. People who like Trump want to be president. That's kind of the way that this works. With that said, if everything Trump related from now until the election is just legal headlines, and everything Joe Biden related is the world is on fire, then Joe Biden has a very serious problem on his hands. Meanwhile, speaking of the world being on fire, The situation in New York continues to be a complete disaster area. Yesterday, six migrant squatters in New York were actually released without bail after they were arrested for drug and gun violations. This is according to Fox News.
Eight were arrested on those drug and gun charges, but six were released on bail, including D'Souza Villalta, who at one point had an attempted murder charge here in New York. Now, police say not only did they find four guns, they found a ghost gun inside of that basement apartment. They found two bags of ketamine and cocaine inside of there. So ultimately, this is what we have. Eight migrant squatters who were arrested on gun and drug charges. Six of them released on without bail, and now three that have been arrested by ICE removal officers right in front of our cameras.
Okay, so some are being arrested, some are being released without bail. They'll be released without bail locally, arrested by ICE, may be deported. And all of this is incredibly weak tea. I mean, the fact is that the left-wing jurisdictions like New York have decided to go soft on crime, and then simultaneously they're complaining about it. So here is New York Mayor Eric Adams, who was really elected to fight crime. He was elected in the aftermath of terrible communist mayor Bill de Blasio, who blew up the crime rate in New York City. And he was elected largely because he was seen as a pro-police force. And here he was saying pro-police words, but have the policies changed all that much in New York City?
We know the biggest challenge that we are facing, I say over and over again, is three areas. Recidivism, recidivism, recidivism. There are too many bad people who are doing bad things to good people of this city. And they believe they have the right to do that. A small number of people are committing a large number of crimes.
Well, yes, that's why you should keep them in jail for prolonged periods of time. This is not particularly tough. It turns out that jail is an amazing place to keep criminals. And the longer you keep them there, the fewer of them are out to commit more crimes. But the left has decided that jails are essentially bad. And so we have to just let people out without bail, give people short sentences, let them out as fast as humanly possible. And then we are surprised when, again, the crime rates increase. And meanwhile, when it comes to the economy, again, most Americans do not like the state of the economy. Jerome Powell is trying to happy talk this thing. He is suggesting that the Federal Reserve is still going to cut rates this year. He's saying that sort of stuff because every time he says that the Federal Reserve is not going to cut rates this year, the stock market takes a dump. According to the Wall Street Journal, stronger than anticipated economic activity this year has not changed the Federal Reserve's broad expectations that declining inflation will allow for interest rate cuts this year. Powell pointed to signs that labor market conditions are less tight than they have been in recent years, a view that has eased concerns paychecks and prices might rise in tandem. However, signs of firmer than expected inflation in January and February have actually created a bit of a conundrum. Apparently, Powell said it hasn't shaken the Fed's stance that price growth will continue to slow down despite some bumps. He said the recent data do not materially change the overall picture, which continues to be one of solid growth, a strong but rebalancing labor market, and inflation moving down to 2% on a sometimes bumpy path. Now, here's the thing. The economy can, in fact, be getting better. Inflation can, in fact, be improving quarter on quarter. Still, the inflation that happened is embedded in the price structure. So if you've had wage gains in the past couple of quarters, after tremendous wage erosion for the past 3 years, that's not going to make up for it. It's like having your paycheck slashed every month for 3 years. And then you got a little bit of a raise the last 2 months and everybody's like, well, you should be happy now you're getting a raise. That's not the way any of this works. Americans' perceptions of the economy are baked in by 3 years of failing economic policy from the Biden administration. Again, that is the real reason why Joe Biden is having a very tough time in this election. It is not because he's not taking a left-wing enough position on any of this sort of stuff. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, there is nothing like sitting behind home plate at a baseball game. When you want the best tickets at any sporting event or concert, you have to act fast or somebody else will get that seat instead. Well, if you're hiring for your business, you also need to find the best people, and that has to happen fast. The best way to do that is with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps you find qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology shows you qualified people for that role. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best talent fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. Just head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. We've been using it here at Daily Wire for years. ZipRecruiter has helped us constantly up our game when it comes to our best employees. You can do the same with our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Go try them right now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter is indeed the smartest way to hire.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Well, meanwhile, Joe Biden, you know, that guy who was supposed to be tacking to the middle yesterday, he actually literally had Bernie Sanders to the White House to talk about healthcare. No, I'm sure most Americans are eager for Joe Biden to appease Bernie Sanders on healthcare. According to the Associated Press, President Biden teamed up with Senator Bernie Sanders on Wednesday to promote his administration's efforts to lower the cost of inhalers and other healthcare needs. "Bernie, you and I have been fighting this for 25 years," said Biden to Sanders. "Finally, we beat Big Pharma. Finally." Now, again, I got to tell you, there are a lot of problems with Big Pharma, obviously. Big Pharma has an interest in pushing drugs as more effective than they are. Big Pharma works hand in glove with the FDA. All of that may be true. Also, every drug that you use and is actually useful to you has been produced by Big Pharma. That is the reality. When your mom has cancer, it's Big Pharma that is dealing with her problem. Joe Biden's attempts to dump all of the problems of the healthcare system at the lap of the people who do the actual R&D is really pathetic, and trying to please Bernie Sanders, who is legitimately one of the most useless people ever to have walked the planet. Bernie Sanders is a bag of useless. I cannot state this enough. He is a net drain on society's resources, Bernie Sanders. This dude has been on the taxpayer dime for 5 decades. He has produced 0 major pieces of legislation. He represents a state with 7 white people and 3 moose. And yet he has been treated as some sort of great halcyon of economic knowledge, despite being so useless that he was once thrown off a commune for failure to do work. There's not enough scorn in my body for Bernie Sanders. He really is just a pathetic specimen of our typical political class. Well, apparently, Biden thinks he needs Bernie. He thinks Bernie's going to push him to victory. And the political malpractice here is just stunning. Both men touted the lower healthcare costs that came through the Democrats' sweeping climate healthcare and tax package Biden signed into law in 2022. It caps various healthcare costs for those on Medicare, including $35 a month for insulin, which, again, the vast majority of people were already getting insulin for lower than that cost, and $2,000 a year for prescription drugs. Okay, now, again, you can cap costs however you want. The availability of the drugs is the real question. It turns out that if these companies are unable to produce profit on the drugs, they stop producing them altogether. They stop doing R&D on new drugs. The top drug maker lobby called Biden's comments Wednesday, quote, a missed opportunity, saying he failed to address how some other industries like health insurance companies are also driving up the cost of medications. Well, yes, that would be definitely one of the big problems. Also, if Joe Biden actually wanted to use his power as president to lower the cost of drugs for Americans, he could actually leverage foreign countries into paying their fair share. It's funny, Joe Biden always wants the quote unquote rich to pay their fair share, by which he means apparently everything. That's only for rich Americans. When he's talking about foreign countries, he wants them to be able to free ride on America's healthcare spending. That's how it works. Canada is paying much lower prices for drugs because they've essentially said to U.S. drug makers, we will only pay you X. And the only reason that those drug makers are able to go along with that deal is because the United States does not cap the drug prices. There are 2 ways of dealing with that. One is to forcibly cap drug prices by having Medicare negotiate the spending. The problem with that is that no one is paying the fair price, which means no one develops new drugs. It's like rent control. The other way to do that is that the United States goes to Canada and they say, listen, we understand that you are paying unfair prices for your drugs. So here's the deal. We are now going to apply economic leverage to our much smaller northern neighbor. And you are now going to pay the market price for these drugs because it's an American company. And we have an interest in American companies continuing to produce these drugs. Like, we actually do have some leverage in this sphere. But Joe Biden ain't going to do that. Instead, he's just going to rip on private industry, the only creator of innovation in human history in any real measure. Private industry, even in combination with government, it's private industry that is leading the way. Yes, obviously there have been situations in which the military developed early stage tech, and then it was private industry that drove it to the broader public, always and forever. But got to put pressure on private industry because obviously you got to please Bernie Sanders supporters. It's the only way to go. I'm telling you, if Joe Biden continues to pursue this strategy, if he continues to push to the left, to the left, to the left, he's going to lose. And then presumably the Democratic Party will blame him for being too moderate. That's the way all politics works these days because everyone is stupid. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to jump into the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.